everybody on Idiot One. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Coming up, a review of the new musical by Barry Levinson and Sheryl Crow based on the hit movie Diner. But first, here we are on the first workday of the first full week of the new year, and we've all seen the predictable magazine covers with headlines like New Year, New You, or some variation thereof. Lots of us have resolved to make changes that will improve our health and well-being in 2015, but lots of us will have a very hard time sticking to those New Year's resolutions. Having survived the holiday party season, having allowed ourselves to, oh, what the heck, have that extra piece of pumpkin pie, we now face the sobering reality of needing to turn over a new leaf. Well, for help in that leaf turning, we turn to the nutrition diva, Monica Reinagle. She's a licensed nutritionist and author from Baltimore who blogs at quickanddirtytips.com. Happy New Year, Monica. Good to see you.
Happy New Year, Tom.
So we all make these resolutions. Generally, you've written about this on your blog. Tell us what makes a good resolution. A lot of folks, for example, will say, I'm going to exercise more, you know, but that's not necessarily, it's a good idea, but it's not necessarily a great resolution, is it?
That's exactly right. I think that there are three things that make a good, keepable resolution. One is to make it specific. So the resolution that you just mentioned, I'm going to exercise more. Yeah, that's a great impulse, but how do you know if you're actually doing it? What would make that much more likely to succeed would be if you were to put a metric on that. What does that mean to exercise more? Are you going to go to the gym 3 times a week? Are you going to log 10,000 steps a day on your pedometer? You know, what is that going to look like? Because when you put an actual quantity, a specific concrete number around your resolution, then it's easier to tell whether you're keeping it or not. Otherwise, it's too easy to fudge. You know, Well, I got to the gym once this week. I guess that's exercising more than I did in December.
Right. And you also say that they have to be, the goals have to be realistic, but they also really have to mean something.
Well, I see a lot of people setting themselves up for failure by signing on for these grandiose lifestyle changes that, you know, in which they suddenly start to run every single morning before, you know, in the dark before they go to work, and they give up sugar entirely, and they're not going to drink anymore except on Saturday night, you know, and they bite off so much that, you know, it becomes quickly unsustainable. Sugar is a really common one that people decide, oh, I ate so many Christmas cookies or holiday, you know, sweets, I'm going to give up sugar. Now, as a nutritionist, I certainly can't argue that that would be a good idea, but I do wonder whether you're going to be able to stick to it. I would much rather you cut back on your sugar by, say, a third all year than give up sugar 100% for 2 weeks and then, you know,
and
quickly relapse.
Into,
right.
So, because if you do that and you actually stay, you know, if you eat half the amount of sugar you ate in the previous year, by the end of the year, you're going to, that's a lot of calories you will not have consumed.
That's a profound impact on your health, far more meaningful than not eating any sugar at all for 2 weeks and then, you know, kind of going back. So yeah, you want to make it, I would rather people pick a couple of small but meaningful changes that they're really going to, you know, carry through than all of a sudden becoming a, you know, vegan, you know, raw foodist on January 1st
overnight.
Until January 2nd.
Right, exactly. Now, you also say to be positive, and by that, you're not talking about optimism, although, of course, optimism's a good
thing. That never hurts.
But you say that you should not just eliminate a bad habit, you should replace it with a better habit.
Yes. It is so much easier to commit to doing something new, doing something better, than it is to just focus on abstaining or giving something up. Maybe one of your resolutions is to stop eating dessert every night after dinner. A nicer version of that would be to resolve to have fruit after dinner instead of that sweet. And then you can focus on, let me make sure I stock up on some really nice seasonal fruit to have after dinner tonight. The outcome is the same. You still have given up those sugary desserts, but it's just more likely to succeed when you frame it in a positive habit, positive direction.
Yeah, so you say, I'm going to do this instead of I'm not going to do this.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, you give some examples of good diet resolutions, and they're very specific. One of them is, for example, eat 2 servings of vegetables before 3 p.m. each day. So why the before 3 p.m.?
Okay. So now you see what I did there? It's very concrete.
Yeah, it's very specific.
A specific number of servings, not only that, but before 3 p.m. And there's no magic to eating vegetables before 3 p.m. The reason I do that is that one of the reasons that people have so much trouble eating enough vegetables is they don't start until dinner time. You know, they don't have any vegetables at breakfast, they don't have any vegetables at lunch, and then all of a sudden they're sitting down at 7 p.m. going, good Lord, I've got to get in 5 servings between now and bedtime. Mm-hmm. So it's really just an attempt to front load that a little bit and to concentrate on getting vegetables throughout the day so that you don't have such an unscalable mountain at the end of the day. So that's the only reason.
So and like vegetables for breakfast, it's like, you know, take off on that old commercial, vegetables, it's not just for dinner anymore. I mean, you can eat them, you know, certainly eat them for lunch, but you could throw them in omelets and stuff in
absolutely
the morning.
Or even just put a nice pile of salsa next to your scrambled eggs. That's actually one of my favorite ways to eat eggs. And there you go, a serving of vegetables. Yeah, but it's also just a matter of remembering to think about that when you're ordering your lunch. You know, sub out the fries, get the coleslaw instead, get a side salad, and then you get to dinner. It's like, hey, I can do 2 more servings, and I've mm-hmm. met my goal for the day.
Yeah, cool. You say to eat fish at least once a week. This is Pope Monica Reinagle III, right? I mean, the Catholics had it right. When I was growing up, we certainly did that every Friday. But that's just, it's a specific thing. Once a week, make sure you have fish, so it's not meat all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Friday. It can be any night that it works for you. But, you know, there's so many benefits to eating more fish. Although everybody knows that, few of us actually ring that bell. So just make that a concrete goal. Once a week, plan a meal around fish.
Mm-hmm. Switch to a high-fiber cereal. So that's really going to help clean out the system, isn't it?
Well, why not? You know, this is, again, just a small but meaningful change. If you eat cereal in the morning and it's something that doesn't have a whole lot of fiber, you know, you're missing an opportunity for fiber. It's also not filling you up and keeping you full as long. So one just easy thing you can do in the cereal aisle is to take a second, look at the nutrition facts label on the cereal box and pick one that has at least 5 grams of fiber per serving. It's concrete, it's actionable, it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm. You say to pack your own lunch twice a week, because if you're packing your own lunch, you're going to be less inclined to throw in cookies and Snickers and, you know, a milkshake, right?
Well, yeah, it would be hard to pack a milkshake. I don't know if there were Snickers in my house, I'd probably put them in my brown bag lunch too. But really the idea here is that meals that we eat out in restaurants just tend to be more caloric, both because of the portion sizes and because of the preparation methods. Chefs are usually
focused. They have more sugar, they have more salt.
Exactly. Because the chefs are trying to make it taste good. They don't care how many calories mm-hmm. are in it. So when you're packing your own food, it just tends to be a less caloric, healthier lunch. So if you're used to eating lunch every day in a restaurant, you know, going out for lunch every day, one small change, it can make a big difference. Pack that lunch twice a week.
Monica Reinagle is the nutrition diva. You're listening to Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. So you talk about some ways to help keep your resolution. One of them is to go on record. You say that if you're public about your resolution, that tends to be a good motivator. And there's some interesting ways of doing that, including some that include financial incentives. How do those work?
One of them is called Diet Bet, and they run a website called dietbet.com. And the idea here is you go on record with your resolution to lose a certain amount of weight by a certain amount of time. Not only that, but you put down a financial stake. And everybody throws that stake into the pot. And at the end of the time period, if you met your goal, and they have ways of checking to see whether you're on track, you split the pot with everybody else that met their goal. If you don't meet your goal, you lose your stake. So this is both a carrot and a stick, right? You don't want to lose the money that you staked, but you actually can make more because not everyone will meet that goal. And people are finding this fabulously motivating. I spoke with the folks that run dietbet.com. They have a couple different ways you can do it. You can do a short-term game, or you can do a long-term game, 6 months, you know, to try to lose, you know, a more significant amount of weight over a longer period of time. And I love that because that's more meaningful than just dropping a bunch of weight in a short period of time and then kind of going back to life as usual. But they say that one trick here is you need to stake enough to make it painful if you lose, that the higher the stakes of the game, the greater the percentage of winners. So if you're serious, you know, don't play a $40 game, you know, put something on the line that you're really going to be motivated. Otherwise, the penalty just becomes the price of indulging mm-hmm. in, you know, that behavior that you're trying to change.
And so far, more of the people who've anteed up have, in fact, met their goal. It looks like this has succeeded for an awful lot of people.
That's right. Well, about a third of the people in a typical game will meet their goal and split the pot. So that means, you know, they're getting more than they put in. But another third of folks, even though they don't actually meet their goal, they make significant progress toward their goal. So they lose their stake. But I got to say, if you're moving in the right direction, that's not exactly losing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. There's another one called stick.com, and that's spelled STICK.com. K, I guess, is the legal shorthand for contract.
That's right.
So this is you actually sign a contract that says, I will lose mm-hmm. X amount of
This is the brainchild of an economist and lawyer from Yale University named Ian Ayers, and he wrote a great book called Carrots and Sticks. And if you're trying to do some behavior change, it's a very readable, entertaining book, and it's got a lot of insights as to how people can motivate themselves to succeed. But this website, you sign a contract, and you put down a certain amount of money that you will lose if you don't make your goal. So there's no carrot here. It's only stick.
All right.
And then you ask somebody to referee for you. And then there's a funny little twist on it. If I fail to make my goal and I lose my stake, I can tell you ahead of time. I give you my credit card number ahead of time. And I also tell you a charity that I want you to send that money to. Or if you want to be really dastardly, you can nominate what they call an anti-charity, which is a group that you would hate to send money to.
But if you lose,
but
you
if
have
you lose,
to.
That money goes there, right? And people hold themselves to the fire. The only caveat I would have to these kinds of games, you know, is to make sure that you think a little bit about what happens when you meet your goal, when you win your prize, when you, you know, accomplish your thing. Because when the penalty or the reward is removed from the equation, you may find somehow that it's harder to maintain that behavior. So there's nothing that says that you can't sign a maintenance contract that just says, I sign this contract that I will continue this behavior for another 6 months or a year. And then next January, we won't have to have this conversation.
Well, this is really fun. I mean, new meaning to the term or the phrase, put your money where your mouth is.
You bet.
That's really quite something. But you do say that, you know, if you go on Facebook and say, okay, everybody, I've decided I'm going to lose 10 pounds, it's a good motivator.
It is. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be public, Tom. Just the act of writing down your resolution on a piece of paper that maybe only you see, folded up and put in your wallet, even that can incrementally increase your chances of sticking to it.
Monica Reinagle, she is the Nutrition Diva. She's a licensed nutritionist from Baltimore and the creator of the Nutrition Diva podcast. She's written 6 books. That's how she stays so trim. She's so busy writing books she can't eat. The latest of which is called Nutrition Diva's Secrets for a Healthy Diet. Monica, good to see you and Happy New Year.
Thanks, Tom.
It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. Theater critic J. Wynn Russick is on her way to tell us about Barry Levinson's new musical. Stay with us.